So, another classic episode of I Hate Your Movie.
Yeah.
I think so. Hello, welcome to I Hate Your Movie, where we inflict movies on each other for your entertainment, but this time, audience inflicted movies on us for their entertainment.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sick f**ks. Now I know what it's to be like on the other side. We watched Bergman Island.
Bergman Island, we did. By the way, our Patreon is available for £1 something a month, £1.20 a month.
And you can torture us very similarly.
And you can also recommend films to us. So if you like the pain and suffering of this episode, then you can do more of it and get a sweet 80p out of it.
Whoa. Don't spend it all at once.
I can get 80 penny sweets. Although penny sweets probably don't exist anymore.
You can get a Freddo with that.
I guess.
For now. We'll see how the Freddoflation will go.
So thank you, by the way.
Thank you, Adam, for recommending Adam, this movie.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, I think we both really disliked this movie. But just because it was a viewer recommendation, I want to start with the positives.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Just get it done out of the way first.
Yeah, before flashing it.
Oh, you expect me to have positives for this film? Shit. Okay.
You start while I try to think of one.
Positives for this film. There was some lovely scenery in it.
Yeah. That's my positive, actually, is that I'm not claiming it, I'm building on it.
Okay.
It did its job as like a tourism commercial where I kind of want to go there.
I do, yeah. If someone offered me to go there for free, you know, I would. Yeah,
not even for free, I would love to go there. It looks nice. I wouldn't do any of the Bergman shit because it sounds...
Sounds like it's the only thing to do on the island by the looks of it.
It naturally looked pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another positive.
Yeah.
I guess. This is really stretching it. But I can see why a person would like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's a very specific scenario, but let's say you are just through a breakup, you're emotional, and you just want like a chill out movie. I can imagine you thinking it's okay. You know?
Yeah. You're really struggling.
There's Ebba in the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the highlight.
I'm not a big fan of Ebba. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? I'm less of a fan of Ebba. Is when you're singing it like out loud next to me.
I have to. It's by law determined.
Yeah, this film had a musical interlude of just like you singing ABBA.
Hell yeah. Fucking love ABBA. I have a favorite character in this film.
Yeah?
A character we dubbed Han Solo. Do you remember him?
No.
He's in the middle of the movie. He's like the movie within the movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's the husband who gets wedded, and people are like doing the, I guess we'll get into it, but they're doing their snobbish film talk around him, and he's like, Bergman this, whatever.
Oh yeah,
get out of your own assholes. I was like, yeah, I like that guy. He's like Han Solo in the original Star Wars film. He's like, what's this Jedi bullshit, shut the fuck up.
Oh, I tell you what I did like about it. And this is kind of like a backhanded compliment.
So
it was quite a chill movie, like you said. I liked the, like, there was stuff happening in the film, and it gave me time to actually research it on the spot. You know? I just didn't feel like I was going to miss much if I just quickly Googled something.
My final positive is that we had fun during this movie shitting on it. This was an unexpectedly funny watch. If I was watching it by myself, I would have been, like, miserable.
So we did have a discussion whether or not this is a troll film, or if Adam, thank you again, who recommended it to us, did it to torture us, or he actually likes it. So please let us know, Adam. It would be cool to see if you like the film. And if you did like the film, I apologize for the next, like, half an hour of this podcast.
Next, like, 2 hours. I've got a one-sentence review.
Yeah?
I was wondering if you have a one-sentence review, and it's going to be pretty much the same, but different words. But my one-sentence review is, if this film were any more whiter, it'd be blank. It's just a blank white screen.
It's like watching white paint dry on a wall.
Yeah. If you don't know, and you don't, because no one's seen this movie, including the camera operator. It's this very European, wine-swirling movie with middle-class people who are like, yes, I enjoyed that film.
Yes.
Should we reveal what the story is?
It's a story?
Well, I attempted at many stories, and it just none of them goes anywhere.
Can I do my one sentence?
Oh, you have one. I didn't know.
Yeah, well, I've just made one up on the spot. Yeah. So this film is like Inception if nothing happened in Inception.
If in Inception, they just end up in the same dream. It's like, wait, are we in a dream? Everything's the same. Nothing changed. So, Tim Roth and Vicky Krebs. Vicky Krebs.
Oh my god, I've got to look this up.
Vicky Krebs. She was in Old, I recognized her.
Creeps?
Creeps.
Creeps.
Vicky Krebs. They go on this Bergman Island. Ingmar Bergman is this legendary movie director.
Yep.
Swedish. And they go on the island where he made movies and he lived and all sorts. And then they slowly drift apart as a couple. I think that's what was meant to be happening.
Yeah. You watched a Bergman film, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. In preparation to this.
Yeah.
It's pointless. There's nothing Bergman-y about this film. I watched Wild Strawberries.
Yeah.
It's a very existential film. It's a road movie where an old guy reflects back on his life as he goes on and gets like a big award for being a doctor. It's also kind of like all over the place. I felt like everyone loves Ingmar Bergman, so I'm going to get shit for that, but whatever. I felt like if it picked one lane of kind of really going deep into like a topic, it kind of went everywhere. It's like, what's a career? What's a money? What's relationships? And, you know, in an hour and a half, you can't really go deep into all that shit. So it was kind of all over the place. It's very like, what is life? What is death? What is anything? Kind of movies.
There's a quote in the film, and I looked it up to see if it was real, but he did a film called Scenes from a Marriage. It was a film and it was a series, and it was just the way it was edited was different. And yeah, and that film apparently was blamed for the rising divorce rates in Europe.
Really?
So, yeah, apparently. So yeah, the quote is, Scenes from Marriage is also the subject of controversy for its perceived influence on rising divorce rates in Europe.
Oh, wow.
So all of those like deep, thoughtful topics and all of the kind of the really good cinematography that goes into that. None of that's in this film.
No.
The film we're actually recording an episode on.
Yeah. You get the idea, because it's called Bergman Island, it's going to have some kind of homage. It may have visually, but I just doubt that it was anything thematic or anything like that.
Maybe we haven't watched enough Bergman films to really understand.
Maybe, but also a film should stand on its own. It can't just be, you didn't see the white homages, and so you're not going to get it. That's stupid, you know? And it was very shallow. This film was very shallow. As much as I didn't like Wild Strawberries, it was not shallow. It was very thoughtful.
A short excerpt from the film Wild Strawberries by Ingmar Bergman.
I named this film Eurosleep Drama. it's one of those movies where it's like a little bit of money from Switzerland, a little bit of money from Northern Italy, a little bit of money from Austria, and they just cobble these together and then just make the most boring movie possible.
It's the worst alternative lyrics to Mumbo Number 5. A little bit of money from Austria, a little bit of money from North Italy.
A little bit of money from Czech Republic. So, Eurosleep Drama, which is now a genre. Everything is a medium shot. It's like visually so boring, you know? Because they can't decide whether they want the landscape and the beauty to take you away, or like they're interested in the human drama. So they just kind of pick in between. And then this everything is a middle shot. There's no focus on anything. And then in the writing, there's not drama. And I think that's my main problem with this movie. Like, there's no drama in this movie. Not really.
For the sake of Adam's potential liking of this movie, I am going to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
And just say, is it there, but it's too subtle? Is it subtle? Do you think there are people out there that read a lot more into, like, the little moments in this film that make it powerful to certain audiences?
I mean, yeah, you can read into anything. But as a writer, it's not there. You know?
I mean, from a personal perspective, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
There. And they weren't sad enough for me.
I have a different take on that.
Yeah.
Which is, if you want a good example of this kind of story, is Marriage Story, which is should be called Divorce Story, because it's fucking awful and mostly about divorce. And that portrays it perfectly. I'm something of an expert in breaking up. An expert. In my life experiences, at least one person is always angry.
Mm-hmm.
No one is just drifting apart at the same time from each other mm-hmm. as a couple. So one person will be hurt, and that's where the drama comes from. They just boringly drift away from each other.
But she is hurt a bit. There's a bit in the film early where she's like crying in bed next to him.
But she doesn't...
That's a bit tragic.
Confront him. There's no...
No.
Why do we watch movies? It's because to see humans interact and solve problems and talk about emotions, and none of that is in this.
But yeah, there's a lot more talking about Bergman than there is about emotions. By the way, I want to just point out as well, because I was playing devil's advocate, but yeah. I'm now back on the...
the hate train.
I was going to say hate train, but I wanted to think of a better word than hate, because I feel so sorry for Adam.
Disown.
Zone.
Sorry. Welcome to the disown zone.
Tim Roth in this film puts no effort in whatsoever.
Oh, he walks through his film.
He just does not care. Like, I know his character's like someone who doesn't really care too much about like...
her and my life in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just does not do it enough in this film.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it seems fine. Yeah, okay.
That's his answer to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've given him that accent.
He does kind of sound like that. He's like a British Kermit. Such a disappointment. He's one of my favourite actors.
He's brilliant when he wants to be.
When he cares. Same with Victoria Creeps or whatever her name is. Same with Vicky Creeps. That's what I don't know. What's worse, Craps or Creeps?
I don't know. As bad as each other. Yeah, like, when, as Tim Roth, like, if you're putting more, like, power and intensity into your performance as the Incredible Hulk's bad guy than you are your independent emotional film, you know something's wrong.
Yeah. Originally, it was supposed to be John Turturro and Greta Gerwig in the lead roles.
No way. Yeah, that cannot be true, because there's such an age difference between them.
I mean, between Tim Roth and Vicky Creeps as well, I think.
I don't think it's as bad as... like.
I mean, maybe not as bad, but...
Turturro's got to be like...
He's in his 60s.
Yeah. And Gerwig's like 30-something.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Especially like big hotshot directors, I can imagine, like... It's like rock stars, you know, they start dating 19-year-olds when they've turned 70, you know?
Yeah, still, I think the film would have lost quite a lot of its...
Tell me, what would it lose?
Credibility.
Yeah, it had a lot of credibility.
It would have lost a lot of its credibility.
A lot of its charm. That's where you draw the line, huh?
Yeah, I do. Because the point of the film is, like, they're drifting apart and no one's to blame kind of thing. If you put, like, an old guy and a young woman in, then he's just to blame. Because he's, like, taken this young woman on an adventure and he's bored of it and he's, you know, he's finished playing with his toys.
Yeah.
And then that's an entirely different narrative than this fairly age-appropriate couple who are just not communicating anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact. There is only 5 years age difference between the original and final cast.
I mean, you can kind of blame Tim Roth, if anyone, because he's like just completely blind to Vicky's attempts at communication.
Does she attempt to communicate?
Well, or not communication, but, you know, sexy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go on this island. It's like Bergman Land. It's like Disneyland, but for Ingmar Bergman.
It's Disneyland for middle-aged white people.
Yeah. Middle-aged, white, divorced, middle-class people. It's well, why not?
Yeah.
There's a Bergman roller coaster. There's a seventh seal, a spooky ride.
It's a Bergman ride. It's the world's slowest roller coaster.
Yeah. It just goes in a straight line. And then it's a train, basically. And it just goes, it just tells you about fun facts like we heard in this movie, which is his movie, The Shame, in the UK is just called Shame. Isn't it? Isn't this fucking fascinating?
Just imperceptibly moves. Takes 2 hours and moves like 7 inches.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you moved? Is it broken?
Oh, what was the category of film you said? What was it?
Eurosleep drama.
Eurosleep drama. Can we put Sideways into that category as well?
Sideways, but that's a good one though.
Yeah?
I like Sideways. You don't like Sideways?
Oh, it's all right, but I think it fits well into the, like,
it
into
does
the genre.
I guess there's a spectrum. I would include like even like Lost in Translation in that, even though it's not Euro.
Yeah,
but I like that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it could be good Eurosleep dramas.
There's so much of this film that it just doesn't do anything.
Yeah. It starts to have stories, but it stops at like the 5% mark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe she'll have like this side romance or...
Yeah, maybe she'll have an affair with...
Maybe she'll have an affair,
with,
but no.
With Swedish Stephen Merchant.
No.
It doesn't happen. Yeah. So she meets Swedish Stephen Merchant and he's like, oh, you don't want to go on the tour. You want to come into my car and we'll go around the island together.
Yeah.
Here, drink this Swedish cider. It's homemade, but it's very delicious.
With chloroform included.
That's exactly what I wrote down. Drink this cider. Get in my car, drink this cider. It doesn't taste barely of Rohypnol. She gets in the car and they drive to this church. And they drive up to the church and they walk around this church. They just look around and they're like, oh, look, this is here. Oh, look, that's there. And then they leave.
Yeah.
And then they go do the thing that actually progresses the story.
There's a bit more that happens because I wrote this down. He says, come into this church. And then they go and it's like, wow, it looks great. And then just walk out.
Yeah, that's what I Yeah.
So they do go inside. So it's like action. It's like...
But yeah, like you say, just they spend the day together. Tim Roth gets angry
because
she's not on the Bergman tour.
Angry.
Yeah, he sends a text saying, oh, thanks for leaving me behind. It's kind of a passive-aggressive nonsense.
He can only get angry through text because he refused to share emotion in this movie. What do you think? There's movies like this, right? Like, not just Eurosleep dramas, but like Miyazaki films that really meander on certain details, like this church scene. I can imagine this scene in like a Miyazaki film, right? There's slower movies like this where people just faff around a lot. But then there's movies like that that can feel meaningful.
I don't know what the difference is because I don't like the faffing around.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, I'm not a big fan of like, oh, this scene meant that because that cup is turned around the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, that's never been my thing because I don't see the cup and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the difference. I think even with films like Suspiria,
mm-hmm.
as much as it is number two worst film ever made.
I went back to number two.
Oh, is it number two? I always skip between that and Catwoman.
All right.
It flips because I haven't seen Catwoman. Catwoman, by the way.
Coming up.
We're going to do our 100th episode. We're going to watch the worst films we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Catwoman and Jack and Jill and Bergman Island.
Just to cap it off.
Anyway, point is, Suspiria.
Yeah.
You just... Even though I didn't like the kind of shots like that, you still got the feeling like a tremendous amount of effort was put into being that way.
It had a meaning for someone, even if it's not for you.
Potentially, yeah. But this didn't. It's like they were just on location in a church and it made no difference. You could have put them in any kind of situation.
It's B-roll that they made into a film.
Yeah.
I'm upset at these movies. Like, they have the budget. Do something interesting, even if they don't have the most amazing budget. Here's what could have happened, right? They could go into the church and let's say there's a portrait of Mary and Joseph and she thinks about family and marriage, and maybe she wants to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
None of that comes up.
No.
Nope.
I mean, the only positive of this film, or one of the only positives of this film, is luckily it wasn't as boring as the tour that Tim Roth was doing in the film. Like, Jesus Christ. It's like, oh, look at this house. It's no longer there.
Yeah, it used to be a house there. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it used to be a house there. This section of wall that was in the film isn't the right section of wall. Up to this part, if you can tell the difference in colours between the wall and the old wall and the new wall, then now it's a new wall. Jesus. It reminded me of when I went on my honeymoon. Yeah. We went to Portugal and we did a tour from there. And it was about an hour to get to where we wanted to go, to like the highest mountain in Portugal. And this tour lady, bless her, she was really trying to make the best of it, but it was not good. She was genuinely like, these trees on the left bloom in April. It's September now, but in April they look really nice. And you got to the next bit and it's like, these trees, you see how the purple is on them? Well, that would look really nice. And we just, for an hour, we did this tour on trees.
It's the imaginary tour.
Yeah, exactly.
How nice it could be when you're not there. This is one of those, like, if 5% gets into it and it stops, which is Vicky discovers Tim Roth's sexual drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't go anywhere.
No.
Like, it never even comes up in conversation ever again.
Nope.
It's like the most interesting thing in a film. As a writer, you're like... you know, I'm just sitting there like, you're mad. You're introducing all these fucking things and you're not following through on anything. You're you know?
Yeah.
It's so annoying. Have you seen a film before? Have you read a book or a story or anything?
To read, the person who wrote this has just read the first like 5 pages of every book they've ever read. And they're, oh, I really like this one.
Should we get into the meat of this movie? The boringception?
Oh, God. The only note I have was Vicky Creeps as being annoying. And she's having a go at Tim Roth because he's like, why don't you just write stuff? That's Michael Caine. He was like, why don't you just write stuff? It's easy to write stuff, just write it. And she's like, oh, writing for me is torture, it's agony, it's blood from a stone.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun setup for what's about to come, because she ended up writing down was just everything that happened so far.
My favourite part of when we were watching this film is when you were like, these people are just terrible writers. They're just writing down exactly what's happening in their lives. They're like people in Starbucks who are writing films about screenwriters in Starbucks.
Yeah, so this is like a bit of a look inside the writer's life, right? When you talk to other writers, it comes up a lot. I've got this script where I've got this guy who works at Tesco, but he's secretly a super genius. You know, it's like that. It happens so often. People have like no self-awareness of that. It's crazy. So that's what happened, essentially.
Yeah.
But even more boring, because at least she could have done that. She could have done like, she's a super spy. You know, in my script.
Yeah.
That's why they're drifting apart. She could have imagined a more interesting movie, but she chose not to.
No, she just is exactly the same thing. I think she may have given like her and Tim Roth a tragic backstory where they were together and not together and together and not together. But apart from that, it's like, my film is these two people that are drifting apart.
And going to an island.
On Bergman Island. The film inside the film is so awful. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Because, I mean, just immediately, it immediately lost me. Mm-hmm. Because the woman in the film, the Inception woman,
mm-hmm.
is, her name's Amy, by the way.
Mia. Mia, the actress. Mia Wasikowska.
Okay.
Whatever, Amy is fine.
Amy is fine.
If you rearrange Mia, you get Amy. Kind of. Almost the same letters.
She's going to a wedding.
Yeah,
right?
This is the movie within the movie.
This is the movie within the movie. This is what, like, you're supposed to get, that this woman's like such a great writer, mm-hmm. because she's writing this like film on the fly when she's in the movie. And so Amy's like, oh, I'm going to a wedding. I'm Michael Caine again. Amy is like, oh, I'm going to this wedding. Like, do you think the bride will mind if I'm wearing a white dress? Yes. Yes, she will mind that you're wearing a white dress. Oh, it's off-white. It's kind of cream. No, it's white. Like, which person, which woman in their mind has ever taken a white dress to a wedding and thought, yeah, that's all right?
I think it is the lack of imagination of the original screenwriter. That's the best they can come up with. You know, I can imagine that, like a really raggedy woman who doesn't really care about her appearance doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so fucking what? It doesn't do anything in the story. And that's the biggest drama in the fucking story. That's the longest and most consequential drama that happens in the story. Whether she has white dress, who the fuck cares?
The point where I completely just lost it. Like with the film, and I just completely gave up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line in the film where she's talking about this dress. So it's a film in a film, and the only thing that's happening is this fucking white dress.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman inside the film says this: oh, I guess someone without a sophisticated sense of nuance might say it's white. Shut up, you pretentious twat. It's just no. Just no to all of it. If I had been on my own, that is the point I would have hit the off switch.
Really? Yeah. You would have gone that far?
I would have given it as best of try as I could. But if I had been aware, even if I was watching it for the podcast, I would come to this point in the podcast recording and I'd be like, I didn't watch the rest.
I would have given up when it turns out that the movie within the movie is the same boring movie. That's where I would... When I had that realization, I'm like, oh, fucking hell, I was never going to be able... And that's the funniest thing, when you left. You left for the toilet, and then the woman in the movie, within the movie, says that she's an actress, that she wants to make a movie. So it's just going to... I thought it's just going to keep happening forever. It's like universe is just going to fold in on itself or something. It's just... I couldn't believe...
I'm just going to read out what Google says is the overview of this film, right? So, a screenwriter couple tries to find inspiration in Faroe Island, which is where Ingmar Bergman lived. As they go deeper into their stories, the lines between reality and fiction start to blur. Did the person who wrote that watch a different film?
I mean, it's technically true.
Cool.
Isn't it?
I guess so.
If you really, you know...
It just makes it sound so much more interesting mm-hmm. than it is.
Yeah, based on that, you imagine like
kind of like something that ends trippy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something that ends in kind of like, you really start to question, you know, what's real and what's not.
And he attempted that.
Yeah.
Kind of, when yeah. Stephen Merchant crossed universes.
Yep, and you have Vicky Creeps and the Amy character. I think they meet.
They meet, yeah. Because, as it turns out, that the movie within the movie you were watching, they're filming that. What you were watching, they were filming that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a little bit confusing. It didn't blow me away.
No.
Why should I care?
Well, yeah. Just, yeah, that's exactly it. But it gets to the end and they're like, oh, there are these people on the screen together. I don't care.
It's like an Inception. We gotta go into this guy's mind and go into his dream. Why? Just cause.
And you go into the guy's mind and he's just at work.
Yeah.
Just
we need to
on
go
the keyboard.
We need to go deeper. He's on the toilet. We need to go deeper. He's in his mother's womb, has not been born, and it's just dark.
That would at least be more interesting. I think you've exaggerated the interesting at that point.
It was just black screen.
He's just there eating a sandwich.
Yeah. And the movie, in the movie, there's an affair.
Yeah. Well...
Between Mia and Joseph. Guy. Joseph.
Joseph.
Is he had the name.
He did. Joseph has a girlfriend.
Joseph has skin cancer.
What the fuck?
Didn't I tell you during the film?
No, what?
When they were like having sex, you can see his back. It's just like this giant mole on his back that's misshapen. I was like, could not take my eye off of it. I was like, Jesus Christ, go to the doctor. That's all. That's the big commentary.
Wow.
Can you tell I was bored watching this movie?
When the moles on people's backs become interesting.
Yeah, that was the biggest drama in this film. Jesus Christ.
Will Joseph survive survive till the end?
And then they have boring sex.
Yeah, graphic sex, apparently.
There's more graphic sex in a Peppa Pig movie.
Jesus. I'll tell you what, because I fucking whatever.
That's the perfect encapsulation of this movie. I'll tell you what. Fucking whatever. That's like this movie in a nutshell. That's your one sentence review. It's the most whatever movie ever.
And one of my favorite bits is like, because she's describing this whole thing to Tim Roth.
Yeah.
And then she says to him, like, oh, can you help me with the ending? I doubt it. I was like, I'm not really who you should be talking to about this, do you?
But do you know why she needs help with the ending, right? Because she hasn't lived enough to finish the ending, to put down exactly what's happening in her life.
But is that the point? To end it on a devil's advocate note, is that the point? She doesn't know how to end her film because she doesn't know how to end her relationship.
Well,
is she asking Tim Roth for advice how to end the film because she's trying to trick him into seeing what's going on in their relationship and to get his perspective on how he sees it going forwards?
Wow. You got more out of this movie than me.
I just made that up.
Yeah?
I just made that shit up on the spot, yo.
But like, yeah, nothing communicates that in the movie.
No.
Nothing.
And then it ends. How does it even end? I can't even
Tim Roth comes back for revenge.
He goes to work on a film.
Yeah, and he takes their daughter.
Their daughter, June.
Yeah.
Which is mentioned throughout the film. Are you missing June? You missing June? Oh, June's not here.
Yes, I completely missed that.
Yep.
But you know why? I was thinking about that. And like, the reason I missed that, I didn't miss it. I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But because everything is delivered with the same monotone way, you can't tell what's important. And then they talk a lot of bullshit about nothing that has no importance. So I just thought that it's her mother or whatever, or sister, or who's ill or whatever.
And that's the end.
That's the end. Of Bergman Island.
So yeah, thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
And again, every time I've done a Blind Bag of Doom episode, even the ones that you've liked, Dan, I've just had to profusely apologise, just in case that this is a film you did actually enjoy. I did not. And that's what this podcast is about. I hate your movie, and you get to be a part of that, because I hated your movie. No offence.
I have to say the same. In fact, I think it is after Little Nicky is the worst movie you've seen on this podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. For different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, you know what it's really like? It's like Joker for Lea Do.
Okay.
That's what it reminded me of more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all these like opportunities for stories and it just goes nowhere. But I guess Joker is worse because they spent $200 million on that shit. You know? 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10. Yeah, I tend to agree. Maybe it scrapes a 3.
Yeah,
just kindness to Adam, really.
We had fun watching this movie.
So to everyone listening, that is your challenge. From now on, that is your challenge. Join our Patreon, £1.20 a month, and your challenge is to beat this film on Dan's worst films of the podcast. We currently have 1 and 2 in Little Nicky and Bergman Island. Can you beat it?
Eternals, close 3 as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sorry, Adam.
Sorry, Adam.
Yeah, that is your challenge.
Yeah.
Sign up now, patreon.com/ I Hate Your Movie.
The challenge could be get Rick to have an 8 out of 10 rating.
Ooh, that is a proper challenge.
That is a proper challenge.
Or you could even try and beat Suspiria.
Yeah. I think it's harder for me to beat the movies I hate because I've seen a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Lil Nicky, and this is in my true worst list, is not even close. I've seen so much crap. That's why I find it amusing when you're like, Catwoman, that's the worst movie I've ever seen. Yeah. And then we start this podcast and like, you have no idea.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Oh, so naive. So new to this world. We have one more bonus episode before the 100th episode.
Yeah?
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Random movie. High tech. High tech stuff.
What? It's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. Not everything has to be high tech to be cool.
That came out.
Yeah, it goes very quick. So shake it up, Bell.
59.
Star Trek. That could go either really bad or really good. So
fun fact, I have seen all of Next Generation.
Yeah.
And I've seen all of Deep Space Nine. I've seen all of Voyager. Not seen the original. mm-hmm. series. I've never watched a single film.
But you've seen the Abrams ones.
Yeah, oh yeah, I suppose I have. I don't feel like they count.
They don't count too much, no.
I really like Next Generation, and I've not seen any of the three or four films that are...
Four.
I've heard they're rubbish, so which is why I haven't watched them.
They are... In the original, there's some real good gems in there. Mm. Usually people say that the even-numbered movies are a good one, and the odd ones are the bad one. I have some issues with that. I really like that first one.
Okay.
But you'd hate that because it's really slow. It's exciting.
48.
Apparently that's one of the good ones.
Okay.
Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. That's original series. That's the last original series one. So everyone's old and fat.
I've not seen any of the original series. I don't even know what the dynamics are between things. I know Spock, obviously. Kirk and Spock.
I think you'd like the original series.
Yeah?
That's the second best one after Next Generation.
Seems poorly acted.
It's a very misunderstood series, and it's very memeified.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, Kirk, he sleeps with all the women, and he just sleeps with like three women throughout the whole series, you know. People,
the nerds watching it, that's like... That's like a whole different life to them.
People pick out the bits that are crazy and they act up or something because they have like some sort of mind virus, so they like shout or whatever. So I think it's been memeified a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's very smart. It's very like classic science fiction.
Cool.
Star Trek 6.
Is that episode 99?
That's episode 99.
Episode 99.
What a weird one.
Carry on the way we always have.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Many of Bergman's obsessions appear in that short and brutal sequence. There's filmmaking, of course, and the snippet of Silent Fast from The Devil's Wanton. That's the first film he wrote and directed. And the eternal questions are there, his relations to God and to faith. Bergman is the son of a Lutheran minister, the pain of the crucifixion, the nail being driven through the hand. This year, Ingmar Bergman is 60. Over the last 30 years, he's made 36 films and he's written the vast majority of them himself. In that time, he's also been the director of the Royal Dramatic Theatre in Stockholm. It still isn't uncommon for him to direct two or three plays in the theatre in a year, as well as writing and making a film. He's probably best known in Britain for his television films Scenes from a Marriage with Leif Ullmann. But a whole generation of his admirers, including me, grew up in Britain on a diet of regular visits to see the latest Bergman, and this was especially true in the 50s and 60s, when many people shared his obsessions with the great questions of life and death.
Oh, the popcorn sticking in the mercury oven. It's sticking in the mercury oven. It was sticking, whoop, whoop, it's sticking in the oven.